Thank you. タッパーさん。Good morning. Don't worry, I was caught up like you have just been caught up. That time as is going. I didn't realize that it was already 10:30 because I was busy chatting. You know, I know back in Zambia that Mwila would not usually doesn't like to go with me anywhere because I love to talk with people and take in. And I get lost in the talks. So I say, "Ah, you, where?" Then she says, "Next time, I'll not go with you." I said, "Oh, but who you go with if you don't go with me?" Say, "Okay, next time, behave." And when I go again, oh, I'm lost in the talk. So I love talking. I love chatting. It's good to be here continuously the third week today. And I'm looking forward to next week as we wrap it up and continue together on this journey. I know you've said welcome to those who are with you. You may turn around to them and say hello on my behalf by giving them a high five, since I didn't manage to get to say hello to everyone. Yeah, you can just tell them this is for Peter. Yeah, give them for Peter, since Peter was not able to give them a high five. Yeah, yeah. Praise the Lord. Oh, so sometimes when I miss home, the worship service, I tend to say these things like praise the Lord. Then back home would expect you to say hallelujah. So when I say praise the Lord,
hallelujah,
hallelujah, then you go to praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And we usually follow the rhythm. So when I start it low and you respond low, say, praise the Lord.
Praise.
Then I say, hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. And you also and when I say, praise the Lord, you even stand up and say, hallelujah. Oh, God. Anyway, the days which are coming, we'll try to do such things. Yeah. Otherwise, you're welcome. It's good to see you. Shall we pray as we begin our worship service? Father, we thank you this morning. We bless your name because you are God. You never change. Your love endures forever. We are here because you love us and you allow us to gather and join the rest of your creation to sing, to worship you, for you are God, our Father. You are God who is always there for us. You are God who knows the end from the beginning. There is none who is like you. You are God who forgiveth our sins. You do not
get mad at us forever. We know most of the times we do not treat folk the way we want them to treat us. Most of the times we have loved ourselves and we have not loved our neighbor. We thank you that Holy Spirit, you are there. You continue to remind us of the love that God the Father showed in Jesus Christ when he allowed him to come and become man so that he could bear our sins. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for guiding us. Continue leading us that we may be like Jesus. We may be like you, God, who is ever in fellowship, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you for today. Thank you for each one of us. Thank you for those who are here this morning. Thank you for those who've not made it, but they really wanted to. We remember them, and we thank them, and we commit them into your hands. Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, we pray that as we continue with our service, may you continue to manifest amongst us as all the saints pray the prayer that you taught your disciples. Our Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We are going to sing a song of response. Praise the Lord, his glory.
today I'm in the dancing spirit, so I don't know what is happening with me. So I want to shake a bit. But back home I don't really dance, but in church that's where I dance. So today we are busy with trying to open up. Our session 3 is all about opening up. Oh, today it's the sun is on, so I'm not able to. You know, you human beings will always find a reason to complain. As long as it's not saving our cause. So at that particular time. Yeah. Okay, so in today's session, we are trying to explore different possibilities for bringing our faith into conversations, our daily conversations basically, but also look at ways in which we can naturally convey that faith, which is in Jesus, but also recognize the need for conducting our conversation in a gracious manner. This is what we'll all be trying to find. Yeah. So we are starting from where we ended last week. We had given ourselves a wee assignment, an assignment that you don't have to report back, but it's good just to try to remember. Did you try to ask God about who was he pointing you to? Did you find in the course of a week which person God was leading you to? You were thinking about, like we said. And if that happened, how was your reaction? Yeah. So basically this is what we said, that in the course of a week, try to ask God, who was he pointing you to? Which person was pressed at your heart that you were thinking about? I don't know who that person was. If you forgot, you can remember today. Yeah. You know, we are busy today and many days. Yeah. But we'll get in by looking at this video of a Samaritan woman, a well-known story.
Would you give me a drink? Did you hear me?
That's bad, huh?
What?
You, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan, and a woman.
I'm sorry. I should have said please.
You know, it's not safe for you to be alone out here.
Nor you. Why haven't you come with others? Why so late in the day? Don't women come to the wells in the cool of the morning?
Yeah, well, none of them will be seen with me, so I have to come out alone. In the heat, as you have so kindly reminded me.
Why won't they be seen with you?
Long story.
I'd still like a drink of water, if you can spare it.
Amazing what a parched throat will do. Aren't I unclean to you? Won't you be defiled by this vessel?
Maybe some of my people say that about your women, but I don't.
Yeah? And what do you say?
I say if you knew who I am, you'd be asking me for a drink.
Really?
And I would give you living water.
Would? Except that you have nothing to draw water with, and this is a deep well. Besides, what do you need from me if you have your own supply of living water?
Long story.
But Jewish water is better than Samaritan water.
That's not what I said.
Are you a better man than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well? Your water is better than his?
I know Jacob. And everyone who drinks this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never be thirsty again.
Wouldn't that be nice?
The water I give will become in a person a spring of water welling up to eternal life.
Really?
Yes, really.
Prove it.
First, go and call your husband and come back. I will show you both.
I don't have a husband.
You are right. You've had 5 husbands. And the man you're living with now is not your husband.
Oh, I see. You're a prophet. You're here to preach at me.
No.
Usually the one good thing about coming here alone is I can escape being condemned.
I'm not here to condemn you.
I've made mistakes. Too many. But it's men like you who have made it impossible for me to do anything about it.
How?
Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain. But you Jews insist Jerusalem is the only place for true worship.
They say that because the temple is there.
Yeah. Exactly where we're not allowed.
I'm here to break those barriers. And the time is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father.
So, where am I supposed to go when I need God? I've never received anything from God, but I couldn't thank him even if I did.
Anywhere. God is spirit. And the time is coming and is now here that it won't matter where you worship, but only that you do it in spirit and truth. Heart and mind, that is the kind of worshiper he's looking for. It won't matter where you're from or what you've done. Do you believe what I'm telling you?
Until the Messiah comes and explains everything and sorts this mess out, including me, I don't trust in anyone.
You're wrong when you say that you've never received anything from God. This Messiah you speak of, I am he. The first one was named Ramin. You were a woman of purity who was excited to be married. But he wasn't a good man. He hurt you. And it made you question marriage and even the practice of your faith.
Stop it.
The second was Farzad. On your wedding night, his skin smelled like oranges. And to this day, every time you pass by the oranges in the market, you feel guilty for leaving him. Because he was the only truly godly man you've been with. But you felt unworthy.
Why are you doing this?
I have not revealed myself to the public as the Messiah. You are the first. It would be good if you believed me.
You picked the wrong person.
I came to Samaria just to meet you. Do you think it's an accident that I'm here in the middle of the day?
I am rejected by others.
I know. But not by the Messiah.
And you know these things because you are the Christ. I'm going to tell everyone.
I was counting on it.
Spirit and truth.
Spirit and truth.
It won't be all about mountains or temples.
Soon, just the heart.
You promise?
I promise.
This man told me everything I've done. Oh, he must be the Christ!
Hey, wait!
Your water!
You forgot your
Fancy, a man who told me everything I ever did!
Rabbi, we got food. What would you like?
Ah, I have food to eat that you do not know about. Who got you food?
That was our feast for today. So, as usual, in our groups, we can try to think about and talk about how would you describe the change in the woman? Why did it have such an impact on others? What do you think she really understood about Jesus when she went to share her brand new faith with others? These are some of the questions that will lead our conversations for today on our tables. You are free to also conversate on what you think is coming out, what remind me of all the good things that come from knowing you, and inspire me to want those good things for others too. Help me to be perceptive to what I see and hear, yet sensitive to what I say, when and how I say it. Amen. As we are going to sing our next hymn, we can be thinking through the words of a prayer that we've just given. Thank you. So we are going to, before our next conversation, we are going to listen to the next short video. It will not be longer than the other, like the other one.
I remember it must be nearly 20 years ago that a friend from down south came up to visit me, and we went to the Falls of Clyde in Lanarkshire. And it was about February time, the weather was sort of okay-ish, but there'd been a lot of snow melt and quite a lot of rain, as you would expect at that time of the year. And as we got nearer and nearer, we could hear this thunderous roar. We knew we were getting near to the falls. And then when we finally got there, it was a magnificent sight. Huge, voluminous amounts of water. That's almost a brownie kind of water, because there was just so much of it gushing over all these rocks. And my friend Richard gave me a little nudge and he said, "My dad made that." And I sort of looked at him and said, "What do you mean you don't?" And then of course it twigged that he meant God had made that. His heavenly Father had made that. And that really got me thinking that there are so many opportunities when we're with people that we see lovely views, particularly here in Scotland. And I live in a place where we're very near lots of lochs and glens, and there's so many magnificent bits of scenery. And there's birds singing, and we sometimes see deer and things like that. That these elements of creation can provide so many opportunities to just bring a spiritual dimension to our conversation, to say, "Isn't that a lovely view? You know, I'm so thankful for that view," or "I'm so blessed by that view," or, "You know, I really am, you know, admiring here God's creation." And that just ever so subtly can bring God, or even anything spiritual really, into the conversation. It's a great opportunity when we see what's around us here.
So our next conversation is basically we look at what are the risks of letting people see the faith parts of our lives. Then you reverse the situation. If someone lets you see into new parts of their lives, thoughts and feelings, how would you feel? Or how would you react? What are the risks of letting people see the faith parts of our lives, of your life? If someone would let you see into new parts of their lives, like their thoughts or feelings, how would you feel? How would you react? You can combine that by also, if you can think of a time when something very simple really made you think about God or brought a deeper perspective to an everyday thing. But also, what do the words "my dad made that" say about how he thinks and feels about God? You don't have to follow all the questions, but these questions are leading. You may also have something that comes out that may lead the conversations. We'll see our last video for today, a short one. Then we try to see how we wrap up.
Following Jesus affects lots of parts of our lives. Sometimes we make decisions or hold opinions that seem countercultural. Sometimes we go out of our way to help and support others because we want to show the love of Christ. In this way, our choices and behaviours also share our faith with others. There are many opportunities to let people in your life know the reason behind your choices. In 1 Peter, we hear, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." We want to be able to simply and gently answer others' questions when they ask us why we think or believe something. It might be a faith matter, but it could easily be about our thoughts on a wider number of life issues. If our faith is changing us, it will be shaping the way we see the world. God's heart and God's perspective will shape ours if we ask and let it. It's worth taking time to think more deeply about what God's word says about some of the big challenges in life. Remember, you won't get clear answers on everything, but you'll definitely have some things to guide.
Thank you. So there are many big challenges that we face as Christians, and often we have to give some answers, unfortunately, because people look at, oh, you go to church, so what do you think about? So some of the things like caring for the creation, they'll ask us, what do you think? Issues of climate, you know, climate crisis, you know, climate justice. Issues of identity, peer pressure or belonging. Other big challenges or big things, issues of immigration or economic migration. That's what the conversation is about. Is it just about migration, or this is economic migration? Because people are paying thousands of pounds to come here. What's the jigs? Yeah, a lot of those. And as Christians, we are called upon to, unfortunately, have to give some answers, because people think that our God is connected, and of course he does. Issues of poverty, hospitality, issues of human rights, issues of slavery, or modern-day slavery, sexual exploitation, the list is endless. There are a lot of things. These are the big challenges that we have today. And as Christians, what is our response? What is a Christian call to many of these issues? Many people ask us, and we are to say something. But basically, we have to ask ourselves, is my faith linked to my opinions, choices, and behaviors around any of the many issues that have been talked about today? Do you ever discuss these things with your friends and family? Or sometimes you just say, oh, no. Could you let others see that your faith impacts your life 7 days a week, not just on Sunday morning? These are real issues that we as church must be able to address. Must be able to address real issues.
Are we only Christians on a Sunday morning? Or is our life, our whole lifestyle, everyday challenges, our opinion linked to our faith? We may conversate on our table those big things, the big conversation, the big challenges that we have. What interest does God have on these things? Do we have to say something as Christians when the issues of immigration, issues of refugees, asylum seekers? When I was in Iowa, I rarely used to talk about these issues of migration, refugees, because it had a direct ripple question on myself. So until at the far end, that's when I started to talk about it, because I hold certain opinions as well. So I said, no, I have to. Yeah, so do you think God is interested in those issues? Would you like to find out more about what the Bible has to say about them? How could you do this? These are some of the questions, leading questions, to many questions that are coming to ourselves.
Okay. A simple answer to that question. Yes, he does. He has an interest in all of those issues. But sometimes you start off where people are, so like I'd start off saying, well, because I'm interested in football, oh, Dundee United have just signed a player from Ghana. Oh, you're quite happy with somebody coming from Ghana to play football then, but you complain about other things, you know.
So.
Interesting, the last contribution that Nicholas made. He said that he expects deliverance, that the people who come to his very big church expect deliverance, And I just wondered whether you were saying that the message is really about that if you come to the church, if you come to Jesus, he will help you in your business, he will make you.
As we proceed, here are the words of the Apostle Paul. As we finish, we take some time to look at the word of God in Colossians. The Apostle Paul says, conduct yourselves wisely towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer everyone. We are going to pray again, like we did this prayer
then now we ask Rosalind to lead us in the prayer for others. So we are going to pray this prayer again together. 1, 2, 3, go. Almighty God, thank you for being involved in every area of our life. Thank you for all the good in our lives that comes from knowing you. Thank you. We live in a free society where we can share thoughts and opinions without fear of punishment or retribution. Above all, thank you for your Holy Spirit who alerts us to all kinds of possibilities and who gives the right words to say. May we be gracious and humble in all our conversations. Help us to be mindful of what we say and of how we say it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We ask Rosalind.
This is a time when we will pray for others. Some of you will have a copy of the Message written. It's a translation of the Bible written by Eugene Peterson, and I'm going to use some of his words as we pray together. Let us pray. Holy Lord, creator and sustainer of this earth, this place we live in neighborhoods and communities and families, thank you that you hear us. Father, let us be quiet for a few moments as we pray for healing for others. Lord, we pray for Moira. We pray for Helen. Pray for your neighbor, for a circumstance. We pray again for Helen Fettis. Pray for something that you read of that makes your heart sink. Pray about something that fills your heart with joy. Dear Lord, we need to hear you most of all. Father, we read and watch and see injustice. This is the introduction to the prophet Micah. Prophets use words to remake the world, heaven and earth, men and women, animals, all growth was made in the first place by God's word. Prophets arriving on the scene and finding that world in ruins, finding a world of moral rubble and spiritual disorder. They take up the work of words again to rebuild what human disobedience and mistrust has demolished. These prophets learn their speech from God. Their words are God-grounded, God-energized, and God-passionate. As their words enter our language, our communities, men and women find themselves in the presence of God. He enters the mess of human sin to rebuke and to renew. Father, we read and watch and see injustice. Mistakes made and not acknowledged. There is no apology. Holy God, be in the opening up of truth. In charges brought to those in high places, we ask that you would be in the procedures of police and courts of law. We pray for judges and lawyers and advocates. Let your spirit of truth be theirs. Heavenly Father, in a small town in Canada, there are parents grieving the death of children. A son, a daughter. Lord, their siblings, how can their brothers and sisters ever hope to recover or understand? We ask that you would pour your balm upon them, your comfort in such terrible loss. Lord, have mercy. Father, as we read news, so often in its headlines and attention-grabbing points, help us to receive it thoughtfully, to view all through your eyes. Guide us in our response, whether to reply or give money or speak out the truth. This is from Micah. Where is the God who can compare with you, wiping the slate clear of guilt, turning a blind eye, a deaf ear to the past sins of your purged and precious people? You do not nurse your anger and do not stay angry long, for mercy is your speciality. That's what you love most. And compassion is on its way to us. You stamp out our wrongdoing. You sink our sins to the bottom of the ocean. Heavenly Father, we believe these words for us, and we are truly grateful. Our lives transformed through Jesus, his words brought to us by others. Guide us and your prophets in these days. In the name of Christ, amen.
Why do we go to church? These are the questions that we must continuously ask ourselves. Big challenges. Why do we go to church? Why do we pray? Why do we read the Bible? Why do you want to talk about your faith without feeling uncomfortable? These are some of the questions we ask ourselves as we respond to the many challenges that we face in our world today. Our closing hymn for today, "All My Hope."
brothers and sisters, as usual, we've come to the end of this worship service. But as you go back to your various places, may the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with you, guide you, and give you hope now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you. It was good to see you. God bless you.